Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Bills with a roster move today, just 6 days before they go to training camp, necessitated by the retirement of veteran safety Raphael Bush. He's decided to retire after nine seasons in the NFL. A valuable depth guy for the Bills last year, agreeing with to a two-year contract with the Bills last year. Appeared in 15 games, seven starts for the Bills last year. Raphael Bush deciding to retire, and the Bills immediately jump on safety Kurt Coleman, another veteran going into his 10th year. He's 31 years old. Last year he spent with the New Orleans Saints, 16 games, nine starts with the Saints, recorded 30 tackles and one forced fumble. Over his career, now 9 years in the NFL, 132 career games for Kurt Coleman, 83 starts, two sacks, 21 interceptions. Came into the league as a seventh-round pick of the Philadelphia Eagles, where he played for Sean McDermott and played for McDermott again when he spent 4 years with the Carolina Panthers. Kurt Coleman, Ohio State product, now with the Buffalo Bills. 6 days before camp, roster move by the Bills. NFL is not going to suspend Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill. He can't attend their training camp, which opens next Friday. League says if further information becomes available through allegations about domestic violence from law enforcement, they will promptly consider those allegations and take appropriate steps at that time. Jets getting set for their first practice, and it looks like number three overall pick Quinnen Williams might not report with his teammates to training camp. He's still unsigned. The plan was for him to fly in Thursday, but he was not on the flight he was supposed to be. Last year, the Jets' first-rounder quarterback Sam Darnold also missed the first few practices. Baltimore opens its training camp practices without their first-round pick. Wide receiver Marquise Brown, among four rookies put on the non-football injury list. Brown underwent Lisfranc surgery in February, a month before he was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens. And the man cited for flashing a laser at Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has been fined $500. British Open, Tiger Woods is headed home. He will miss the cut. He made two straight bogeys at the end today, finished 1-under 70 for the tournament. Not good enough to make it. And the Bisons home tonight, opening up a series against Columbus. Three-game weekend series with Columbus right-hander Connor Fisk on the mound for the Bisons. John Murphy here. Welcome back to the show. We got Tyler Dunn from Bleacher Report in studio with us. Happy to have you with us. Did I give the British Open scores? I did not. Shane Lowry of Ireland, a co-leader of the British Open. He shot a 67 today. He is 8-under. He's tied with American J.B. Holmes, also at 8-under. You don't care about the British Open. You made that clear, Tyler. Because the guy you're replacing, he was all over the British Open earlier this week, practice round.
You know what? I golfed for the first time ever at Matt Fairburn's bachelor party up in Toronto a few weeks back.
And excellent. Where'd you play?
I have no idea. Okay. One of the courses up in
it
Toronto.
Was a course.
I don't know if I made it. I don't think I completed one hole. We went through 18, but I just kind of, you know, would shimmy up to keep up with everybody else to pace of play.
Picked up your ball and
yeah, I you know, I'm just terrible. I just can't. It's too fickle of a game, you know?
It's hard. I'm terrible too, but I have no problem being terrible and playing. I don't play much. I think I played 8 times this year, maybe, which is, I was thinking the other
that's
day.
That's a lot.
Not really. Yeah. There was 20 years ago, I probably played 25, 30 times a year.
Oh, man.
I'm down, I'm way down. And you know, it's hard. It's difficult. You know what I've noticed? This could be an old guy thing. Steve and I have talked about it, and he's almost my age. The older you get, the less you want to play 18 holes of golf. 9 holes is fine. 12 holes is perfect. And I was talking to a golf pro about this, and he goes, yeah. A lot of people tell me that. 18 holes is too much.
Yeah, it's a time suck, isn't it?
It is.
You know, you're away from reality a little
yes.
too long.
And when you're not good, it's like, what am I doing here? Making myself feel awful. Welcome back to the
Just
show.
Just quit.
Well,
turn this into an intervention,
John. Not
ready
to go cold turkey yet.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. We got a lot to talk about in this third and final hour. We started the day, and we will continue talking about the AFC East. You may have some thoughts on this. Tyler and I have. The AFC East, yes, we know all about the Bills, all about their question marks, offensive line, quarterback. Can the defense do what they did last year? We've talked about all this. But there are questions for the others in the AFC East as well. The Patriots. What are the Patriots without Gronkowski? Where is Tom Brady in the course of his career now? The Jets. Brand new coaching staff, new defensive coordinator in particular, Sam Darnold's second year. The Dolphins, who's going to be their starting quarterback, Rosen or Fitzpatrick? Questions all over the AFC East. What do you think the biggest question marks are for the Bills' opponents in the AFC East? Outside of the Bills, what's the biggest question mark in the AFC East? Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll free 1-888-552-550. You can send in a tweet. Let's read some of them from the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. Outside of the Bills, biggest question mark in the AFC East, Ronnie sends this in. There are question marks with the Patriots, Brady's age, and Gronk retirement, but they always seem to answer those. No question with the Dolphins. They aren't very good right now. So for me, it's the Jets. And can Darnold take another step? And can Gase learn to be a quality head coach? Okay, Ronnie, you've covered all three teams. What would another step look like? I'm curious about this. He said, can Darnold take another step? What would the next step look like for Sam Darnold? He is different, as you've accurately pointed out, Tyler, from the Bills guy, right, from Josh Allen.
Right.
What would the next step look like for Sam Darnold? I guess how close was he last year to his ceiling? I don't have that answer, but I'm eager and curious to find out. Maybe this year we will.
Yeah, probably less risk-taking. I think he finished with, 17 interceptions, so a little high. It seemed like toward the end of the season, though, he calmed down a little bit, and he grew up pretty rapidly. I mean, his numbers the last three, four games were way, way better than they were the first couple months of the season. So things seem to click. Now, you bring in Adam Gase, you bring in Le'Veon Bell, you bring in a new system. You would normally think that that's not a good thing to have to relearn, reteach yourself, something completely new. But I think this is all great for Sam Darnold. I mean, this is going to be a much more quarterback-friendly system. You heard Greg Cosell earlier. He really considers Adam Gase one of the top offensive minds in the game. It'll at least be better than what he had last year, you would think. And Le'Veon Bell is the quarterback's best friend. I mean, they're going to use him in a lot of different spots all over the field. As a running back alone, you know, he's going to take pressure off too. So I would think just overall, just less mistakes, less turnovers for Sam Darnold. It would really be the next step for him.
Will he miss Josh McCown at all? He's got Trevor Siemian backing him up and a couple of others. I mean, I don't want to overstate the contributions of a veteran like Josh McCown, but he had to mean something to a rookie, an untested rookie last year, right?
Definitely. I mean, you're not going to find one person in the entire NFL they'll say a bad word about Josh McCown. Maybe the most respected veteran in the league, at least at his position. It's unbelievable how everybody who's ever been around this guy loves Josh McCown. So you have to think he had a huge effect on Sam Darnold's career. I'm not sure what else he probably could have said or done to help him, though. You know, I kind of think that was a one-year type of mentorship. Then, you know, hey, it's your team now.
Yeah. Look, I'll say it right now. After the Bills, I think the Jets are the most interesting team in the division. Do you agree?
I mean,
with the coaching staff, with Darnold in his second year, with the additions, Mosley, as you pointed out, on defense, with the Quinnen Williams, with the first rounder, with Le'Veon Bell, they are the most intriguing team. Are they a 9-win team? I don't know about that. They have had an upheaval in the football department in the offseason, which you'd like to avoid, although what impact does it have on wins and losses? I guess we'll find out, right?
Yeah, you know, that upheaval could be an issue, but they definitely brought in a really good football mind in Douglas. I mean, he's really well respected. And you just wonder, though, is he going to try to undo a lot of the mistakes in his mind from McCannion and the past regime? You know what I mean? Like, he didn't bring in Le'Veon Bell. He didn't bring C.J. Mosley at those prices. I mean, that's a lot of money for a running back, a lot of money for an inside linebacker. Who knows if the people in charge really even wanted those current centerpieces for the team. So that could be a little weird.
Questions in the AFC East, what do you see? Send in a tweet. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Also from the tweet sheet from Timmy. He asked a good question. He goes, my question, will Le'Veon Bell be rusty this season, and can he match his performance without having the Steelers' offensive line? Two good questions. I would think less about the rust factor. I think he's a good player. You love him, obviously. But that's not the Steelers' offensive line in front of him at the Jets. That could make a big difference for him.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it looks like he's in great shape. I mean, Greg Cosell was even there himself. He said he's moving really well. I don't think rust is going to be that much of a factor. You know, maybe if a year off, he will even help in that regard. He didn't get hit 300, 400 times. But that Steelers offensive line, I mean, you could put anybody back there from Bell to James Conner to Jalen Samuels. I mean, you saw them really create holes for whoever was running the ball. I think part of them maybe were a little ticked off at Le'Veon Bell at times for his running style, that patient running style. I've talked to a few of them. They said, hey, sometimes it's like, go. Like, there's a hole there. Hit it.
What are you waiting for?
Right. Exactly. They're that good. They can hold their blocks that long. That's something that we should probably be talking about a lot more. I'm not really that familiar with how good the Jets' offensive line is going to be this year, but I can tell you it's not going to be close to Pittsburgh's.
Let me read you the depth chart, projected depth chart. Not a whole lot there for the Jets. Calvin Beecham at left tackle, Kelechi Osemele, former Raider, at left guard, Jonathan Harrison at center, Brian Winters at right guard, Brandon Shell at right tackle. There's nobody there who's going to get much attention, I wouldn't think, right? Nobody there. I mean,
right.
I don't know if there's anybody good there, to be honest with you.
Well, with Bell, I think where he's dangerous, they're going to have to get creative with him and move him all over the place. I think Cosell's right, and like, this isn't going to be a 320 carry season for Bell. They're going to have to kind of use him in different ways, and that's probably one reason why their line isn't going to be close to Pittsburgh's.
Around the AFC East, the biggest question marks outside of the Bills, a tweet from Ms. A from BK, who goes around the division. She says, there are question marks across the board. Will the turnover on the roster hurt New England? Will Tom Brady's age catch up to him? Who takes the reins in Miami, Fitzmagic or Josh Rosen? Who will reign in the chaos at MetLife? Will the back pages of the New York Post be filled with Gase looking at tacos? I don't understand that.
Great meme. Well, that was, I think somebody created a meme of that press conference and kind of moved the tacos
like,
to align with the eye movements. We just got to lay off of the eyes. You know what?
You said I know.
Yeah, let's cut him some slack there.
Is there chaos at MetLife? We don't know. I think that might be overstating it a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it chaos yet. Let's let it play out. It's just really strange to just see everything change that late in the game. So,
one more tweet from the tweet sheet about the AFC East from Doug. I think the one weakness that has consistently impacted Tom Brady's performance is strong pressure up the middle. If the Bills can generate consistent pressure and collapse the pocket, they should find success. Okay, sure, that would be a goal. I do think their first-round draft pick, Ed Oliver, has something to say about that, don't you?
Yeah, that's where you have to get the pressure on Tom Brady, because if you're relying on pressure from the edge, I mean, the ball is going to be out. It needs to be in his face. I mean, we've seen it. You know, the times he has lost in the Super Bowl, you know, Philadelphia is getting pressure up the middle. The Giants are getting pressure up the middle. That really is the only answer. And you've got to cover, because the ball's going to be out in, you know, 1.8 seconds.
Yeah, it's coming out. Hey, we're talking about the AFC East, but I want to take you, if I can, Tyler, to a discussion that you and your teammates at Bleacher Report had. It is published. It went up on Bleacher Report just the other day, I guess, right? Bleacher Report NFL expert picks for division winners this year. A lot can happen between now and the end of the regular season, but NFL writers at Bleacher Report gathered to make some pre-camp predictions for the league's eight division winners. You were one of them, along with Mike Freeman, NFL national lead writer, NFL analyst Brad Gagnon, Lefko show host Adam Lefko, NFL draft lead writer Matt Miller, NFL analyst Brett Sobieski, NFL national lead writer Mike Tannier, NFL analyst Gary Davenport, and you, Tyler Dunn. You got a bench there, man. You got some players. Division winners. Let's start with the division we've been talking about, the AFC East. Your group, I guess, expectedly, picked the Patriots. Let me just quote it, and then wanted to get you talking about it. You didn't write this, right?
No. Yeah, it was just more.
So you don't
of a
have to answer for this,
right? we all picked like our own division winners.
Gotcha.
And, yeah, they.
But the group, Bleacher Report group, says to say the Patriots own the division is a massive understatement, and that's not going to change in 2019. The Bills and Jets are rebuilding teams with second-year quarterback. Brett Gagnon wrote this: with the Bills and Jets greatly improved on paper, and with Rob Gronkowski no longer a factor, the gap between the Patriots and those teams is a lot smaller. But analyst Gary Davenport writes this: you could build a team with the 53 best players from the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins, and it would lose 8 of 10 to the Patriots. I don't know. You put together an all-star team, he writes, from the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins, and that team would lose 8 of 10 to the Patriots, go 2-8 against the Patriots? No.
You don't agree with that?
No. No, an all-star team made up of the best Bills, best Jets, and best Patriots
would
go 2-8 against the Patriots.
Bill Belichick's still coaching. Tom Brady's still the quarterback. Here's what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen?
It'd be 500 at best.
They'll probably start, what, 4-4. They'll fiddle around through September, October, like they always do. But kind of like Golden State the last few years in basketball. The regular season's almost like the preseason. They're just kind of like figuring everything out. And when December rolls around, they know who they are and they steamroll.
I'm not saying they're collapsing, but it's not basketball. And the Patriots are good, but I do think they are in decline. And an all-star team from the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins would take at least 5 of 10. Come on. No?
You know what? I might go 10 of 10 Patriots on that matchup.
10 of 10.
10 of 10.
They'd win all 10 games.
All 10.
Patriots against an all-star team. I mean, it's totally theoretical. You never happen. All right, let's get to the come on. Let's get to the AFC North for a second here. You and your compatriots at Bleacher Report make it unanimous, I guess, right? Is it unanimous for the Cleveland Browns?
I think there might have been one for the Steelers. Yes, Mike Freeman went with the Steelers.
Okay. Tell me why. Yeah, one vote, Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, I get it.
Seven votes for the Browns, one for the Steelers. Come on.
Hey, I get the concern in Cleveland with all the personalities, all the egos. You know, you put all these people in one room and it's going to spontaneously combust, but you know what? It hasn't combusted yet. Let's let this thing play out. You've got Baker Mayfield who, you know, absolutely proved himself worthy of the first overall pick last year. And now you're surrounding him with Odell Beckham Jr., with Jarvis Landry, with Antonio Callaway, Nick Chubb. I mean, they've got David Njoku. And I think Freddie Kitchens, you know, was doing a lot of different things last year, as we talked about the other day. So the talent's there, and it's there on defense, too. And hey, I get it. The Steelers think they can just plug in James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster and keep that rolling. And maybe they're right. But right now, there's just more talent in Cleveland than Pittsburgh. It's crazy to say that they're a contender, that they're the front runner, but I think that they are. You don't think so?
No. I think Baltimore has something to say. I think Pittsburgh will have something to say.
And now, Baltimore's defense was gutted pretty good this offseason.
For 7 of 8 of you to pick the Browns.
Yeah.
Come on, that's just flavor of the month club now.
All right. Well, right? We'll see.
AFC South, this surprises me too. I think the AFC South has the potential to be among the more competitive divisions, and yet you and your Bleacher Report colleagues, 7 of 8 of you in the AFC South, picked the Indianapolis Colts. Houston is a playoff contender, aren't they? Jacksonville is a recent deep playoff contender. Don't they deserve some consideration?
Yeah, you know, it's probably a little closer for me than others, but I like the Titans a lot, actually. I mean, their offensive line is really strong. Defensively, nobody talks about that defense, but they might have the best secondary in football with Kevin Byard, Malcolm Butler, you know, two true playmakers back there, Logan Ryan. But Marcus Mariota, I mean, is he really going to turn a corner, or is he kind of what he is at this point of his career? I know he had a ton of injuries, all the nerve damage, but that's kind of what held me back on the Titans. I mean, the Jaguars, you know, I know you're not that big of a fan of the head coach there.
Did that come across yesterday?
Maybe. I like Houston, but their offensive line is a mess. I mean, Deshaun Watson was running for his life last year. Nobody even knows who's in charge in Houston. Maybe it doesn't matter, but, you know, they need to figure out, you know, their front office. I just think that Andrew Luck, another year removed from everything he went through, and Darius Leonard might be one of the best linebackers in football already. They've got the two pillars.
I know the Colts are on an upward trajectory. I like the Colts. I love Frank Reich. I just don't know if they're dominant. 7-1. 7 of 8 of you think they're division winners. I just don't know if it's a slam dunk.
What don't you like about the Colts?
Inexperience mostly. You know, those guys, offensive line, good last year, going into a second year. Even Darius Leonard, you know, is not a ton of experience. They have some weapons. I don't think they're overloaded with offensive weapons. And although I like Andrew Luck and like his approach to the game, he can have downsides too. You know, he can have slumps. He's had them. We'll see. I don't know that they're dominant. I think I would pick them as the best team in the division, a likely division winner, but I don't think they're a dominant division winner there. Can I turn your attention now to the AFC West? Again, pretty competitive division. The folks at Bleacher Report went with the Chargers, 6 of you. Chiefs got 2. Chiefs won 12 games last year, went deep into the playoffs, almost made the Super Bowl, and yet only 2 of you and your 7 colleagues think they have what it takes to repeat as division champs.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of those 2. I just think that you upgrade you know, at pass rush with, you know, D Ford leaving, Frank Clark coming in, you upgrade at safety, bringing in Tyrann Mathieu. That was just a collapse against New England in the AFC Championship game. I mean, defensively, we all remember what D Ford did lining up offsides, but, you know, again and again and again. I mean, how many plays had to go right for the Patriots to win that game down the stretch? The Chiefs make one of those during the Super Bowl probably. So I just think their defense is going to be a little better. And Patrick Mahomes, I mean, another that was basically a rookie season for him last year. You know, he's going to learn. Yeah, defenses are going to adapt to what he does, but he's doing things that nobody's ever really done at the position, so he's only going to get better.
Okay, we'll see. I think the Chargers are talented, maybe more talented, and I think they will win that division, but I do think it'll be close, right? It will be pretty close out there.
You know, side note, Sammy Watkins, we caught up before that AFC Championship game, and he says that Patrick Mahomes in practice throws behind-the-back passes and passes underneath his legs, so maybe he doesn't end with a no-look pass. Maybe everybody will see something you know, that we've really never
seen
before.
Let's see that in a game.
Yeah.
Bleacher Report picked the division winners. We've gone through the AFC with Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report. NFC East, I think most people expect this to be fairly competitive, and your group picked five of you picked the Eagles, three picked the Cowboys. Which way were you on that?
You know, went with Dallas. As we talked about, a lot of pressure on them with all the contracts that are up and Jason Garrett's contract situation, but man, that's a lot of talent right now. This is a window right now for them to win with Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper. They kind of know what they are on offense. They're not just going to like try to spread you out and scheme you. They're going to pound Zeke Elliott. They're going to work off play action. And Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, a linebacker, are one of the best duos. So, you know, they might fall off a cliff in a year or two, you know, unable to pay all these guys. But right now, yeah, I'll
take
them.
You see holes in the Eagles? You pick Dallas here. Your partners picked the Eagles 5-3, but do you see holes in the Eagles? Because I don't. I don't think they're a perfect team, but I think they're pretty solid overall, both sides of the ball.
They are. I mean, let's just see Carson Wentz stay healthy, though.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to stay on the field. And it's kind of dumb to, you know, knock a team for, you know, a potential injury. I'm not saying that, but look, he's had some things come up, and when he wasn't out there and Nick Foles was in there, something happened. You know, he had some kind of galvanizing effect in that locker room. I'm not going to go to the extreme that we saw, you know, and I think it was the Philly Voice had that extensive story in the offseason about leadership and guys not really thinking Carson Wentz is that great of a leader in the locker room. The players I've talked to don't say that, but hey, where there's smoke, there's a little bit of fire. And Carson Wentz felt the need to defend himself a little bit this offseason. So maybe there is some growth that has to happen there. But, yeah, I mean, a couple years ago, he was going to be the MVP until he tore his ACL. So if he's healthy, they could win the Super Bowl. I just don't know if you can really bank on that with his playing style.
Bleacher Report, the NFL writers picking division winners in the NFL as we approach training camp. And Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report is with us. He was in on all these votes. We move to the NFC North. This surprises me because I think I said to you yesterday, the window for the Packers is either closed or getting close to being closed. And yet your group, four of you picked the Packers, three picked the Bears, one picked the Vikings. Where did you come out on that?
It was the one pick in the Vikings,
you picked the Vikings,
I guess, the outlier.
A year ago, you would have been, this time, people thought that's who they would be.
I think we're just kind of forgetting about the Vikings. You know, they schematically just weren't very smart offensively. I think you'd agree. They just kind of tried to throw it all over the place. And they had to, you know, the head coach, Zimmer, had to step in and say, look, let's run the ball. Let's get back to the basics a little bit. And if he's working off play action, you saw the big plays from Kirk Cousins in Washington. I think he can do that in Minnesota with what he has in Thielen and Stephon Diggs and defense.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I mean, they have everything. I don't know. I think it's going to be the Vikings or the Bears. It's going to be tight, but I'm with you on the Packers. I don't know how open that window really is right now.
Yeah, and yet your group four, you picked the Packers. And I would say if I were picking in that division, I'd pick the Bears. I really would. I think they are, again, complete. Both sides of the ball. A pretty good coach, and I'm not a Trubisky fan, but I can see how you could win with that guy, and they managed to do it last year. They'll probably do it again.
It's really interesting, too. That's like the trend, the wave. It's these, you know, I hate to use the word guru, mastermind, but it starts on the sideline with the coach designing and calling the plays and who to throw the ball to. I mean, Trubisky's an extension of his head coach. Goff's an extension of his coach. Garoppolo of his coach. I don't know if Rodgers is ready to make that plunge in Green Bay. They've got to find some kind of balance there, but that's kind of a subplot to the season in that division, really.
Bleacher Report's pick for the NFC South. Six of you go for the Saints, one for Carolina, one for Atlanta. Where did you come out on this, Tyler?
The Saints. I mean, talk about bad luck those last 2 years. I mean,
Super Bowl caliber the last 2 years.
100%. They're loaded. You know, Drew Brees hasn't shown any sign of declining. If he has, kind of like Tom Brady in New England, that they're not afraid to run the ball. You know, Alvin Kamara will be playing a bigger role with Ingram gone. They'll be fine.
And they got to get better luck, right? You mentioned it. They got to get better luck.
You think so? I mean, the football gods kind of owe them one after these last 2 years. And yeah, it's you know, it would be funny. What if it came down to a replay of a defensive pass interference for this team? It might.
We'll talk about that next segment. And finally, NFC West. Four of you vote for the Rams. Three of you vote for the Seahawks. One vote for the Niners. Were you the Niners vote there?
I wasn't. No,
You've seen the Niners close up.
I like the Niners. You know, they could win the division. They could contend for a Super Bowl. It could go the other direction, like we talked about. But I feel like Russell Wilson, we don't talk enough about what he's really done the last two seasons. I mean, they barely threw the ball at all last year, and he went for 35 touchdowns, 7 picks, 34 touchdowns the year before that. One of the most efficient quarterbacks in the game. I don't know if their kind of archaic style offensively is going to win in January and February. I mean, with Brian Schottenheimer, they still want to pound the ball. They want to run it with Carson, with Rashad Penny now in his second year, and even Wilson himself. But yeah, you look at his numbers. I mean, he's just as good as any quarterback in the league these last few years. We just don't talk about him. I mean, it's amazing how they've transitioned. You know, from the Legion of Boom, they've been picking late in rounds, yet they've somehow found a way to stay competitive after losing all those guys.
And a lot of it is Russell Wilson, right? And the evolution of his game. He's a legitimate passer now, I think.
Definitely.
But to the defending champions here, the Rams. What do you see? Too many questions? Girly questions for the Rams? Is that what prevents them from being your pick as repeat champs?
Man, you're probably onto something there. I know that everything you hear out of L.A. from Sean McVay to Gurley himself is positive, that they're confident that he's going to be fine, but really strange. I mean, how does somebody in the running for league MVP, all of the entire season, he's the centerpiece of your offense, become a complete non-factor by the end of the season, whether it's the knee, whether it's something in his head. I mean, in that NFC Championship game, after a couple of drops, I mean, he was just benched, and McVay kind of put it on himself. Kind of a weird situation out there. I don't think we have all of the details, all of the facts, but you know, not that unknown there kind of gives me pause.
All right, it's a really good piece in Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report NFL expert picks for the division winners. A great way to get yourself situated for training camp. Tyler Dunn, one of 8 Bleacher Report experts, NFL experts, who was involved in those selections. It's good stuff. I don't agree with it.
Hey.
All of it.
So it makes it fun, right?
Yeah,
Appreciate it.
It's good stuff. Coming back with more, including NFL True or False. Come on back. One Bills Live presented by Collada Health. We're coming to you from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call, tweet, or text Chopin the Bulldog this afternoon, 3 to 7 p.m. on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Back with One Bills Live, John Murphy with Tyler Dunn from Bleacher Report. He's in for Steve Tasker. Steve returns on Monday. We get set for training camp. A week from today, we'll be doing show number 2. We only do 8 at training camp. Show number 2 coming up a week from today. The first show next Thursday for us at training camp. Do you think, we had the numbers earlier this week. There's only 10 teams are going off-site for training camp now in the NFL. You think it's becoming a dinosaur? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think these coaches definitely want to see their players against other players on other teams to really gauge kind of where they're at. And you can kind of create these controlled atmospheres, create drills to really study players. But I tell you, the trend I don't like is like less and less and less open practices to fans.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not like the Bills are alone. The Bills are, you know, probably on the better end of opening up practices to fans, but I think the Eagles have like one open practice to fans. I mean, we all remember being kids and our dads taking us to training camp. I remember going for my birthday one year, you know, when I was like 10 years old. So it's just such an opportunity for families to see their favorite teams at not the insane ticket prices currently going right now. It's just too bad. I hope the NFL kind of comes to their senses.
Did you see Broncos coach Vic Fangio's statement earlier this week? Boy, that resonated. I'm trying to find it here. I wanted to read just a section of it.
It was amazing.
Yeah, he was right. He's right. And as you point out, it's a chance, training camp, a chance for people who can't afford game tickets to go to see their team play. It's up close and personal. We talk about it all the time at the Bills camp at Fisher. You're getting, you know, good access and good view of practice. And post-practice, you're getting access for autographs and, you know, pictures and meet and greet. I mean, it goes on out there every day at Fisher. I think it's really valuable.
Yeah, those little memories last a lifetime, you know. I mean, I can remember Jonathan Litton throwing me his hat one time way back when.
That's a while. The great. That's a while ago. The great Jonathan Litton. I can't find that statement. I'll find it. All right, we've been pushing it off. The talk about the I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this. Steve and I talk about it a lot. The league, a couple of weeks ago, meetings, I think it was middle of June, talked about adjusting the instant replay use on pass interference, especially in the last 2 minutes, where there was concern that if they call it by the letter, there might be, you know, a flag on every play down the last 2 minutes. They didn't change anything. They're letting it roll. And so instant replay can be used on a challenge basis on pass interference or non-pass interference calls, and then the final 2 minutes it goes to the replay official. I think we're in for a disaster, Tyler. I really do. I think we're in for a situation where the league's going to have to issue a statement after 1 week and probably change something after 2 weeks. I really think it's going to be that bad. I think it's going to be that uncertain as to what they want called and what they don't want called. I get it. The Nickell Robey-Coleman play last year was an egregious mistake by the officials. Deal with those officials. Don't make a sea change in how games are called, and that's what they've done. That's what they've done. And it bothers me how it was done at the earlier spring meetings by the NFL, where the coaches basically hijacked the rules committee and say, we want this change, and we're gonna get it. Well, look, coaches, you are coaches. You know, the generals don't run the war. You know what I mean?
Right.
They have a rules committee. They have a competition committee that makes these changes after serious consideration, and it was all bypassed because Sean Payton, had his ire up because of that non-call. It was a terrible non-call. Nobody disputes that. What do you think?
Well, you know, if it's not this play that everybody's seen on their screen right now, if it's not this Nickell Robey-Coleman play, it's something else. So it's not like this is just going to fix all the controversies we've ever seen on the defensive side of the ball at the end of games. It's when does it end? I mean, you can go back years and years. I think even to the Legion of Boom, I really think that newfound emphasis on cracking down on illegal contact off the line of scrimmage was a reaction to, you know, we don't really like the Legion of Boom, you know, and Richard Sherman believes this too. I can tell you that the success they had isn't good for the product. They want points. They want offense, offense, offense. They want the quarterbacks to be the stars. So that happens. And we see, well, to sack a quarterback, you almost have to just kind of lift him up under your arms and gently set him down on the turf. And, you know, that took the league by storm early last season. And now this, I just don't know where it ends. They're so progressive with this. It's going to be something else.
Yeah.
There'll be something else that, you know, people will complain about. I just think that it hurts the product, and it's going to hurt the game flow, absolutely. All coaches are going to use both of their challenges, right? They'd be stupid not to.
And I'd love to talk to Sean about it. He might not come clean, but I'm sure they have a strategic way to use these challenges now. And by the way, you got to save a challenge. You might have to save a challenge in a game for this very thing, right?
It's true.
It's a strategic consideration. Look, I believe instant replay doesn't work, and you may agree or disagree. Steve thinks I'm crazy. I think it creates as many problems as it solves. I don't care about length of game. That's not my issue with instant replay. It's the fact that it does not solve problems. It creates as many as it solves. And we go deep down the rabbit hole trying to find perfect games, perfectly officiated game. There's no such thing. Replay has human elements involved in it too. I'd just as soon do away with replay as far as an officiating tool 100%. And I see more and more slowly people coming around to that belief. You can't fix everything. A human element in officiating, I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. And the guys who are bad, well, should be gone. They should be full-time officials whose livelihoods depend on these calls they make and on being accurate and knowing what they're seeing. And if not, you know, get rid of them. But I think it should be take replay right out of it. Doesn't help. It doesn't help at all.
I tend to agree with you at this point. You know, there's going to be human error one way or another in this game. So, you know, I will say this. So I think when Instant Replay came back, it was in reaction to, what, that Vinny Testaverde play at the goal line for the Jets, what, in like 97, 98?
Sounds right.
And then Jerry Rice fumbling, you know, against the Packers in the wild card. Just a clear fumble. That would have ended the game, and you don't have the Steve Young, Terrell Owens heroics. So, I mean, there were some egregious calls there. But you know what? There's always going to be something egregious that we're all going to be talking about, all going to be complaining about every season. So I tend to agree. Like, there's that we just accept human error and get rid of replay entirely, because it's not like everything just was fixed with it.
Nothing has been fixed. It's going to be a one-year deal, Instant Replay on pass interference, and then they'll review it.
Dissecting it to a science, something that happens that fast. It's insane.
It's terrible. Hey, let's get to NFL True or False. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Couple of issues here as we approach training camp, teams going to camp. How about this? The Cowboys, big-name stars, Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott. They're talking about new deals, but no deals yet. And USA Today writes they're beginning to be suspicious that they will get those deals before the start of the regular season. True or false, the Cowboys won't sign extensions for Prescott, Elliott, and Cooper at all? Well, that's false. They'll keep some of those guys, but I don't know if they'll get it done before the start of the regular season. That's false. They want to keep some of those guys. Dak Prescott, I think, is the key man. Not that they have to keep him, but that's a big decision they'll have to make.
Definitely false. You know, when it comes to Jerry Jones and money, he's going to spend on something. It's not always wise, but, you know, these are good problems to have for Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, and the Cowboys. They're going to get something done, and I would think they would start with the quarterback, even though he's been under fire from time to time these last few years. You got to figure that position out, or you're just lost in the weeds.
So we both go false on that. Part two, this one I immediately want to jump on it as false, but I don't know. This comes from a Bleacher Report article. Don't know who wrote it, Tyler. But the contention is Travis Kelce, Chiefs tight end, is the most dominant tight end in the NFL. Two-time first-team All-Pro, four times in the Pro Bowl. He's had great years, 1,000-yard mark or more in every season since 2015. He's a key member of the Chiefs offense, clearly. But is he the most dominant tight end in the NFL? Maybe. I guess I would suggest there are, you know, now that Gronkowski's gone, no one is dominant at that position, right? I mean, I know that George Kittle is coming on, but I'm going to say false. I don't know if anybody is a dominant tight end, especially with Gronkowski gone. False.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to go false. I mean, when you look at the Chiefs offense, they've got just, you know, so many weapons all over the place, from Kelce to Tyreek Hill, of course, and they added Mecole Hardman, who, you know, is going to be a household name very, very soon. He might be one of, if not the fastest player immediately in the NFL. But I'll go with George Kittle. I think that if you can catch 88 balls for 1,400 yards and five touchdowns when C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins are throwing you the football, you know, he's going to take a big step if Jimmy Garoppolo can stay healthy. So, I think Kittle's maybe the closest thing the NFL has to Gronk.
Never been a Chiefs fan. This is a little sidelight here. Today's ruling, non-suspension for Tyreek Hill, lost his name there for a second, that makes the Chiefs even less likable in my mind. You know, I'm really going to root against them now because of that, because he probably shouldn't be playing. I understand why the league didn't do anything, but I don't think the Chiefs – I like Mahomes, appreciate Mahomes' talent. I've never been an Andy Reid fan. I'm just not going to find myself rooting very often for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some soul-searching going on out there in Kansas City. I mean, one of the most passionate, rabid fan bases that you'll find. I mean, that Arrowhead, I mean, that AFC Championship game was just unbelievable atmosphere.
Were you there?
I was. Were you? I was, yeah. It was unreal. And now these fans have to cheer for somebody involved with all of this. You know, it's going to be difficult.
Yep.
But they will.
Finally, true or false, the Philadelphia Eagles have the best pass rush in the NFL, mostly anchored by Fletcher Cox. 95 pressures last season, the most by any defensive tackle other than Aaron Donald. I'll go true with this. Yeah, I don't have a better pass rush than the Eagles last year. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll go false. I'll play contrarian
okay,
here.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles have a great pass rush, but I feel like Jacksonville is right there. I mean, Yannick Ngakoue, one of the best edge rushers that none of us really talked that much about. And then they drafted the other Josh Allen. You know, I don't know how he fell to Jacksonville. What was it, like seventh overall? Really thought he'd go early, maybe even to the Jets. So they've got all kinds of options up for him. Calais Campbell was the best, maybe the best defensive player in football a couple years ago. So that gives Jacksonville a shot in that division, a really good division all of a sudden.
There you go. NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. We're back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, time now for What Have We Learned from Today's Show. It is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Greg Cosell on the show with us today from NFL Films, senior producer there. He's done a lot of film study of the Bills, Josh Allen, and even last year's first-rounder, Tremaine Edmonds, the linebacker. We asked him about Tremaine Edmonds and what he saw from his film study as he gets set for his second year.
The term I always use is play recognition, because what you have to understand formations, you have to understand the depth of the back, you have to understand where the back is, you know, which side he's offset, is he offset to the passing strength or to the running strength, those kinds of things. You have to understand spatial awareness, you know, based on formation. Those are the kinds of things where I think a young Mike linebacker always has to get better, and I think Tremaine Edwards started to get a feel for that as the season progressed. He'll get better in that area, and then you'll really see the outstanding athleticism show up more snap after snap after snap. But I thought he started to move in that direction. The sort of cliche for a stacked Mike linebacker is he has to play with his eyes. And I think that that's critical for Tremaine Edmonds. The athletic ability is clearly there.
Greg Cosell on Bills linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. Bills, with a roster move today, they announced that backup safety, the veteran Raphael Bush, has decided to retire after 9 years, five teams in the NFL. And the Bills signed veteran safety Kurt Coleman in his 10th year out of Ohio State. Played last year with the Saints. Last year, 16 games played, 9 starts. He's played with the Eagles, where he was a 7th-round pick. Played a little bit with Kansas City and a couple of years, 4 years with the Carolina Panthers. Some time under Sean McDermott there and in Philadelphia. And one more note, as we said, camp starts next Thursday. We'll be there 2 weeks from today. It's the Bills' Colts game, first preseason game, Thursday, August 8th. And that is Kids Day. The Bills made this announcement yesterday. Kids Day at the stadium, Thursday, August 8th, Bills and Colts, first preseason game. It's presented by Connors and Ferris, the 18th Kids Day game. Special ticket pricing, 7 o'clock kickoff, all kinds of events for kids that day. You can go to our website, buffalobills.com, to check that out. Kids Day coming up August, did I say 2 weeks? No, August 8th, 3 weeks away when the preseason games begin. Tyler, it's been great to have you here. Thanks for filling in for Steve the last couple of days. We look forward to your pieces. I'm sure there's going to be more than one on the Cleveland Browns coming up, and the Niners piece too, right?
Yeah, man. It's been great being here too with you, Murph. Thanks so much for having me.
What do you think of our little show here?
Love it. Yeah, it's great. It's cozy.
These are the dog days. You can probably tell that, right?
Man, isn't it just great? Like, finally, we can just see players on a field.
Yes.
You know, for months, we've been just forecasting and pontificating and predicting, and now we just see, for real, you know, what is.
Yes.
Everybody,
you're like me,
all
I think,
teams.
And people think I'm crazy. I really like training camp.
Yes.
I like going to watch players on the field. I like to see about all of the off-season stuff that's been set out. These guys like forming my own opinions on who these people are, how they play, what they might provide. I like the stories that emerge during training camp, you know, like because believe me, there's at least one, maybe a handful of guys who I might not expect much from who are going to shine in training camp, in every camp. I'll just deal with the Bills. You'll be all over the league, but you'll see that. You'll see guys you never expected, right?
You know, right, and here in Buffalo, or I should say St. John Fisher, you don't have to really hear or talk about process and culture and all those words anymore. It's time to win for the Bills, you know, in year three. And I think what you see in training camp is going to tell you, you know, what to expect this season.
We might not get a chance to get you back on the show before the season begins, so let me ask you now, and we don't need a long answer to this. How many wins for the Bills in 2019? What do you think?
Oh, man.
Putting you on the spot.
Let's go 7-9.
7 wins is all. I'm
just
thinking
a big old buzzkill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're never coming back.
No. You know I like
that's realistic. I think 9 wins is realistic.
But I think you're going to see like promise in the quarterback. That's number one, right? You want to see some promise, some improvement out of Josh Allen. Maybe that's more important than even the win-loss record.
Tyler, thanks for this. It's been great having you here.
Thank you.
Tyler Dunn, you can follow him on Bleacher Report. covering the Bills and the rest of the NFL. Thanks to our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Honiter, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Karchus, James Robel, our producer, Jay Harris. Steve comes back Monday. We'll be at camp next Thursday and Friday. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.